This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
It's 3 o'clock somewhere. Time for a My Mochi ice cream snack. My Mochi ice cream is cool, creamy scoops of premium ice cream wrapped in sweet, pillowy dough. And get this, all of My Mochi's fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, double chocolate, and cookies and cream are only around 80 calories per piece. Talk about a guilt-free, indulgent experience. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned, gluten-free mochis that are great for grab-and-go. So feel good while curbing your afternoon cravings or the midnight munchies. Yeah, you know who you are with the joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream. Find My Mochi ice cream at Target or visit MyMochi.com to locate a grocery store near you.
We want to hear from you. Please take our 10-minute survey and tell us what you think about our 48 Hours podcast. Visit cbsnews.com/podcast-survey. No spaces and all lowercase to take the survey. Again, that's cbsnews.com/podcast-survey. We appreciate your feedback and love your support.
Rainella was telling the police that he committed suicide.
I knew that couldn't be possible because my dad was scared to death of guns. That's what I told her, and I knew that he couldn't have done that.
If you tell the jury this is a suicide, the jury wants to know, how do I know?
Were you at all prepared for what, in fact, happened in this case?
Not at all.
I'm Erin Moriarty, 48 Hours, and this is Married to Death. We continue with the case of Rainella Lee, who went on trial in 2017 in Knox County, Tennessee, for killing her husband, David.
He was so horrible. Nobody could hear, cut hair like me. He was a good horrible.
Your first name's Renee, correct?
Rainella. Rainella.
On March 13, 2003, at 11:23 that morning, Rainella Leith reported Rainella. Her husband's suicide.
Okay.
R-A-Y-N-E-L-L-A.
Rainella had been married to David Leith, her second husband, for 10 years when she says she walked into their home and found him dead of what appeared to be a self-inflicted gunshot wound.
Ma'am!
My husband shot himself my grandchildren.
This is Rainella Leith later that same day.
Okay, what do you want me to call you?
Speaking with Knox County, Tennessee investigators.
Okay. I need you to tell me about this morning.
Tells them her husband had been ill and depressed about his health for some time and had been showing signs of dementia.
This is Detective Moyer.
Listen to these old audio tapes, recorded just hours after finding her husband's body.
You're doing really good helping us establish what time and everything, okay?
I'm good.
Okay, it's difficult to believe that this woman, this clearly distraught woman, could have planned and carried out his murder. And I should point out that suicides involving white middle-aged men are common. More than 90 suicides every day in this country. Still, police are doing their job and asking the widow more questions.
Okay, so when you talked to him at 9 o'clock when you took his breakfast in, did he start eating it, or?
He said, I've got to get up and pee. He said, I'll come right back and eat. Don't worry, because I said, you know, don't lay there and let that get cold.
Do you know about what time you got back home?
Right before I called 911.
Okay. You came through the breezeway, and then you came in and you hit your answering machine, and you called for him?
Called for Dave, and he didn't answer.
And you came back, ma'am? He was laying on the bed just as he was when you found him?
Yeah.
Was the covers up on him like that, or did you cover him up?
I can't remember.
But detectives also recorded themselves as they began their investigation.
Hey, this is Detective Moyers with the Sheriff's Department. We're out on a possible suicide, gunshot wound. The gun's laying next to his left hand, which is curled underneath him. Like I said, it appears to be an old Colt. We got three fired rounds.
What they find,
three spent ones,
a shooting with not one, but three fired rounds.
Three live ones. He or someone has fired at least two rounds that we know of. We just not found the third one yet. Subject is nude. No underwear. Nothing. Does have a pillow between his legs. One of those that help your back, lower back and knees.
There's no suicide note, but that's not their biggest issue. They're troubled by the location of the bullet holes and how David Leith was found.
What I have a problem with is one is where the round's at and the way he's laying. I'm not saying it stinks, I'm just saying it's strange.
Just 24 hours later, following an autopsy, the death was ruled not a suicide, but a homicide. And all eyes turned to the widow, Raynella Lee.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores, like Urban Outfitters, Fenty Beauty, and Expedia. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
14 years later, all eyes are still on Raynella Leith as she goes on trial for her husband's murder. And not for the first time. This is her third murder trial. Her first trial ended with a hung jury. She was convicted the second time around, but that conviction was overturned. And now she's back in court again. Raynella Lee, the nurse, and once a prominent member of Knoxville society, will stand trial for the murder of her second husband.
All right.
I'm sitting in the back of the courtroom with my producer, Josh Gaynor, and the other reporters. The Leith trial, like all trials run by senior state judge Paul Summers, begins with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Of the United States of America.
I've sat through so many trials where the judge can sometimes give the defense a very difficult time. And in this case, the judge was a real gentleman.
He wore cowboy boots to court every day.
Here's my producer, Josh.
The same variation of a tie with the Tennessee state flag on it with the three stars. He spoke in almost a theatric way.
Thank you. Please be seated.
He is what you would hope a Southern judge would sound like, almost from a movie.
Instead of wearing black robes, you ought to wear black and white striped robes, because all we really do are referees.
But what is justice in the case of Raynella Leith? If David Leith's death was so clearly a homicide to the investigators, why has it taken 14 years and three murder trials to find justice?
The case was tried in the media before the case was tried to a jury.
Defense attorney Josh Hedrick tells me he believes the prosecution of Raynella Leith took on a life of its own.
You know, part of the difficulty is
fueled by the press.
it's not a compelling story for the purpose of selling papers or getting viewership to say that a man suffering from Alzheimer's and depression finally decided he was going to end his life. It's not the kind of story that's going to move papers off the rack. When you start laying out this complex, almost master criminal level plan to set up an alibi and get a weapon and make sure everything's in order and kill your husband and then cover your tracks so perfectly, that sells papers.
And the presumption of innocence? Well, it seems long forgotten when it comes to Raynella Leith. And the story has only grown with time. The case makes the front page most days and is mentioned morning and night on the local TV stations. In court, Raynella Leith is sitting ahead of us to our right with her other defense counsel, Rebecca LeGrand, often whispering in her ear. LeGrand practices law in D.C., which makes her a bit of an outsider. She's a tiny woman, intense, and comes across a little raw as a litigator.
She's not from the South, and you can tell. Josh Hedrick speaks in a sort of very graceful, mannerly Southern way, and she has an accent from somebody from the North, and she is not as experienced in a courtroom, so I was really interested to see how the jury would react to her, because she's clearly not from here and not in a courtroom every single day.
And she's afraid, she tells me. Raynella Leith was convicted once. It could happen again.
It's terrifying. I know she's innocent, and I know she's already been convicted, and I know that the local press is going to say what they're going to say, and I know I'm sitting next to an innocent woman who's been incredibly kind to me, who's been incredibly kind to a lot of people in her life. When we came in, the deck was stacked massively against her. And that's terrifying.
And that's because a lot of people in the community think Raynella may be a so-called black widow. As I mentioned in the first episode, Raynella's first husband, Ed Dossett, also died under very strange circumstances after being trampled by his own cattle. Initially, the county medical examiner ruled it an accident. But years later, when Raynella's second husband, David Leith, died, investigators had second thoughts. They believe Raynella had likely killed Dossett as well. But she never went to trial for it. More on that later. Inside the courtroom, just to our left, is one woman who has no question that Raynella's a killer. Her name is Cindy Wilkerson. She's Raynella's stepdaughter and David Leith's only child.
Do you miss your dad?
Every day.
Cindy Wilkerson is tiny. She's in her 50s, but looks much younger. Her long blonde hair always freshly styled. After all, she's a barber, not a hairstylist. A barber, just like her dad.
My dad was fun, full of joy, loving, caring. He was a great dad.
When she's not at court, she's here.
I just love to joke around.
At the suburban barbershop where her father once worked, she still uses his chair.
But it's a joy to work where my dad did in the barbershop.
Hello, Frank.
And use the same chair he did.
Cindy was surprised, even shocked, when just 6 months after Ed Dossett died, Raynella married her dad. But Raynella did make him happy.
She'd fix his food and start his car in the morning, and just whatever he wanted, she just treated him like a king.
Raynella would go out in the morning and start your dad's car before he went to work?
Yes.
And she'd bring him lunch?
Bring him a milkshake every day.
Now, this is a town where everybody knew everybody's business. So if there were issues in Raynella and David's marriage, wouldn't word have gotten out? Cindy and her cousin Beth Roberts are convinced Raynella killed David, but they also admit they didn't see any problems in the marriage besides the occasional nagging and nipping. Even when David suddenly retired from barbering in 2000, Cindy says her dad seemed fine.
But did you begin to notice any kind of problems with your dad?
No.
In 2000? Forgetfulness?
No.
Confusion?
No.
Did he seem more emotional?
No.
You didn't see anything?
No, he was very alert, very sharp. You know, he knew all of his surroundings. He was just, he was on top of it.
Which is what she told investigators back on March 13th, when she got to her father's house and was told he had taken his life.
What did you actually think when Rainella said your dad committed suicide? Did you initially think, well, maybe he did, but it's just hard to believe?
No, I never did think that. I knew that couldn't be possible because my dad was scared to death of guns. That's what I told her. And I knew that he couldn't have done that.
And there was the way he had done it that bothered Cindy even more. He had apparently held the gun anywhere from 6 inches to a foot away from his face with his left hand.
He could not have done that.
And what about the idea?
You see, David Leith was not just right-handed. He was unable to see with his left eye, injured years earlier in an accident while chopping wood.
He would not have known how close to get or anything because, he was totally blind out of that eye.
But if David Leith didn't shoot himself, who did? Rainella Leith was gone from the house most of the morning. She got up early that morning, she told investigators. After daughter Katie left for school, Rainella watched television with David in their bedroom and then left him breakfast on a bedside table, walking out the door around 9:30 a.m.
He kissed me goodbye, and he said, if I'm not here when you get back, I'll be at the Y. And I said, okay. He worked, he had 12 hours a day, every day, for 39 years, cutting hair. He deserved to rest.
After Rainella left the house, she went to Park West Hospital to visit David's mother, her mother-in-law. And after that, she stopped by the high school to bring her daughter Katie medicine. Rainella Leith had an alibi, an almost too good to be true alibi. Because there was something she did that morning that would come back to haunt her. At 9:50 that very morning, about 20 minutes after she said she left the house, she called Cindy Wilkerson, who was at work at the barber shop.
You know, she had asked me if we'd seen Daddy, and he went to work out on an empty stomach.
Was that normal?
No. She never called me at work.
Never called you at work?
Never called me at work.
Have you seen your father today?
He didn't eat his oatmeal this morning. So he must have gone.
That's Stephen Crump, the district attorney general.
There was the first indication on March 13th, 2003, that anything was unusual about David Lee.
There would have been no reason to ask if he'd worked out. And there certainly would have been no reason to say he didn't eat his breakfast, because there's no way she could have known that unless she had been there, and unless the only reason she knew he hadn't eaten breakfast was because he was dead.
Cindy says during the call, Rainella handed the phone to Cindy's grandmother to say hello. It was a way, she thinks, for Rainella to cover her tracks and prove she wasn't at home.
It was unusual in tone. It was unusual in the fact that she called her at her business.
Investigators began to suspect that Rainella Leith wasn't telling the whole story. And yet, even after her husband's death was ruled a homicide, nothing happened.
What are you expecting will happen?
Investigation, indictment, trial.
But it doesn't.
No, not even close. Not even close.
David's cousin Beth Roberts says everyone in the family expected Rainella Leith to be charged with murder. But months went by with no charges. So Cindy Wilkerson took matters into her own hands. She filed a civil suit against her own stepmother.
When Cindy filed a wrongful death suit against Rainella, did the press jump on something
there
like
was,
that?
Yes.
a big news story in the local paper that the prosecutors did respond to. And
defense attorney Rebecca LeGrand says that that pushed prosecutors to bring criminal charges, although there was no new evidence in the case. In 2006, Rainella Leith was charged with the murder of David Leith.
In my opinion, the most troubling piece of evidence is that we can't prove suicide.
Defense attorney Josh Hedren.
Where the burden of proof being on the state, we could talk about the presumption of innocence, and that's fascinating academic discussion. But the reality is that the jury, if you tell the jury this is a suicide, the jury wants to know, how do I know? The only person there is David. He's gone. And I can't prove 100% that this was a suicide. I can't answer all the questions. And that's what concerned me the most.
Stephen Crump was not on the prosecution team for Rainella's first two trials regarding the murder of David Leith. So this is his first crack at it.
You feel really strongly about this case.
Yes, I do.
You wanted this woman to be tried again.
Yes. I felt great about it. I felt like, hey, this is a case that needs to be tried, and we'll get 12 good people, and they'll make a decision.
Were you at all prepared for what, in fact, happened in this case?
Not at all.
This podcast series, Married to Death, is developed by 48 Hours in partnership with CBS News Radio. Judy Tigart is executive producer. Nancy Kramer is our executive story editor. Mike Vallee and Alan Pang are the series producer editors. This episode was produced by Josh Gaynor, Lisa Fried, and Luis Geraldo, and edited by Mike McHugh, Dwayne Tullison, Jamie Benson, and Megan Marcus. Thanks to composer Richard Fioca for his original scores. Gabriella Demergian and Morgan Canty are our associate producers. Kayla Cadell is our production associate. Thank you to Craig Swagler, the vice president and general manager of CBS News Radio. And finally, a shout out to all of you, our fans. We owe it to all of you, the millions of fans of 48 Hours in the U.S. and around the world. Don't forget to join me online. I am at EF Moriarty on Twitter, and we are at 48 Hours on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you soon.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I'm CBS News correspondent Major Garrett, host of the podcast Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen. During the Cold War, FBI agent Robert Hansen traded classified secrets to the Kremlin in exchange for cash and jewels. In the podcast, you'll hear from Hansen's closest friends, family members, victims, and colleagues for the most comprehensive telling of who Robert Hansen really was. Binge the entire series now. Agent of Betrayal, The Double Life of Robert Hansen is available on the Wondery app, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.